Hello everyone, and welcome to Hydro One's virtual community open house for the Waasigan Transmission Line Project. We are live tonight with Daniel Levitan, Vice President of Stakeholders Relations, and Alex Muskolic, Senior Manager, Community Relations, who is our moderator for this evening's session, as well as expert panelists to take your questions. In addition, we are joined by hundreds of interested parties listening in. To ask a question live this evening, simply press 3 on your phone's keypad. Once again, press 3 to ask a live question at any time. And for those online, you can submit a question via the submission box on the right. To view tonight's presentation, please visit powernorthwest.ca. My name is Eric, and I'll be facilitating the virtual community open house this evening. Hydro One chose this format as it is an interactive town hall with you, which means we want to hear from you. During this live event, we encourage you to get involved by asking questions and giving your opinion by voting on a few polling questions we have for you. For those online, you can submit a question via the submission box on the right. Daniel, Alex, and key members of the project have made it a priority to engage and connect with you and other interested parties about the Waasigan Transmission Line. We want to hear your feedback, questions, and concerns about this proposal, and our intention is to get as many questions from you as possible. You can ask a live question at any time by pressing 3 on your phone's keypad. Someone will take your name and place you in the question queue. If you are joining us online, you can submit a question via the submission box on the right. And to view tonight's presentation, please visit powernorthwest.ca. Now, we're still having new people join us, and I want to welcome everyone again to Hydro One's virtual community open house for the Waasigan Transmission Line Project. We are live tonight with Daniel Levitan, Vice President of Stakeholders Relations, and Alex Muskolic, Senior Manager, Community Relations, who is our moderator for this evening's session. We also have expert panelists joining us to take your questions. In addition, we're joined by hundreds of interested parties listening in. We want to remind everyone joining us, you can ask a live question if you're joining us on the phone by pressing 3 on your phone's keypad. For those online, you can submit a question via the submission box on the right. To view tonight's presentation, please visit powernorthwest.ca. Now, at this time, I'm going to introduce Daniel so he can open up this evening's event. Welcome, Daniel. I know tonight is a very important opportunity to communicate with local Indigenous communities, government officials and agencies, and interested persons and organizations about the proposed Waasigan Transmission Line Project, and to hear questions, input, and feedback while addressing any concerns they have. Daniel, please go ahead.
Thanks, Eric, and thanks everyone for joining Hydro One's virtual community open house for the Waasigan Transmission Line Project. As you heard, my name is Daniel Levitan. I'm the Vice President of Stakeholder Relations here at Hydro One. I'd like to begin by acknowledging that the Waasigan Transmission Line Project will be developed on the traditional lands of the Anishinaabe Nations, signatories to the Robinson-Superior Treaty and Treaty 3. We also recognize the contributions of the Métis Nation throughout Ontario. Also, myself and others are joining tonight from the traditional territories of many nations, including the Mississaugas of the Credit, the Anishinaabe, the Chippewa, the Haudenosaunee, and the Huron-Wendat. Hydro One is grateful for the opportunity to do business on these historic lands. Today, I am joined by my colleagues from Hydro One and partners from the Independent Electricity System Operators, our system planner, also known as the IESO. From Hydro One, we have Alex Muskolic, Senior Manager, Community Relations, Bruce Hopper, Waasigan Project Manager, Sarah Kohanam, Senior Environmental Specialist, Jamie Waller, Senior Real Estate Coordinator, and Matthew Jackson, Director of Indigenous Relations. From the IESO, we have Beverly Nollert, Manager, Transmission Planning, North and GTA, Ahmed Maria, Director of Transmission Planning, Jordan Pennock, Senior Manager, Engagement and Indigenous Relations, and Max Way, Senior Transmission Planning Engineer, joining to answer questions during the Q&A portion of the evening. So before I get into the project itself, I want to thank you for joining this community open house. We were pleased to do in-person open houses in Dryden, Atikokan, and Thunder Bay during the first week of May. It was really great to be able to gather locally again. We're also happy to offer this virtual open house for anyone who wasn't able to attend or prefers a virtual format. You may also have seen or heard that in early May, Hydro One and Gwayekochegaywin Limited Partnership, or GLP, a consortium of 8 First Nations, advanced our collaboration by entering into an agreement on the Waasigan Project. This historic agreement provides the 8 First Nations communities represented by the GLP with the opportunity to invest in an equity stake of the project. In total, 9 First Nations in the region will have the opportunity to invest in up to a 50% stake in the transmission line. We are extremely proud of this industry-leading partnership agreement and believe it can transform the way in which First Nations participate in critical infrastructure development. It's also a strong signal as to how Hydro One intends to move forward on new large-scale transmission line projects across the province. We look forward to continuing to work with Indigenous communities throughout the life cycle of this project. To provide a little history and context about what Hydro One represents, for more than 70 years, we have proudly served the homes and businesses of Northwestern Ontario. Our crews live and work across the region and are personally as well as professionally invested in providing safe and reliable power to your homes and businesses. We're committed to energizing life in the region by ensuring power is there when you need it. We know and support the fact that Northwestern Ontario needs access to more electricity to support planned economic growth. This was further supported by the IESO's recent recommendation of a phased approach to construction for this project. Beverly from the IESO will speak more to this during the presentation. As a neighbor and partner, we also take our role as an advocate for communities across the province very seriously by ensuring electricity needs can be met. By working alongside partners like the IESO, it is our job to make sure power is available where and when it's needed to support business and community growth. The Waasigan Transmission Line will play a critical role in increasing the amount of electricity available in the region and unlocking that economic potential and growth. As we continue to complete the development work and move through this planning process, we're committed to continued engagement and relationship development with Indigenous communities, residents, businesses, elected officials, and other interested community members. Engagement is an absolute top priority. Your feedback to date has helped shape this project, and we want to continue hearing from you so we can build a line that respects the interests and needs of your communities. Tonight's session will be another opportunity to learn more about the project need, the environmental assessment process, how a preferred route will be identified, key milestones, and next steps. Lastly, before we get into the presentation, I want to provide you a little bit about what you can expect from Hydro One. We don't see a project design as complete until we've consulted with communities. We're here to make sure that your advice is built into that final plan. While we can't guarantee that a project will satisfy everyone all the time, it is our goal that everyone can say they had an opportunity to weigh in, everyone knows they were heard, and that we meet our own standards internally of effort to make sure that all that happens. So with that, I'd like to remind those who joined by phone that you can also access our live stream presentation online by linking through the project website at www.hydro1.com/Waasigan. We encourage you to follow along online if you're able to. Following the presentation, we'll have plenty of time for question and answer with members of the project team. For those joining by phone, you can ask a question at any time by pressing 3 on your phone's keypad, and you will enter the question queue. Our viewers online can also submit a question through the submission box on the right-hand side of your screen. We appreciate having you join us to learn more about the Waasigan Transmission Line project, and we look forward to the discussion. So I'm now going to turn it over to Eric to ask our first polling question of the evening. We will have 2 additional polling questions during our discussion this evening as well, as opportunities to ask questions throughout the discussion. Over to you, Eric.
Thank you, Dan. Here is our first polling question for everyone joining us. You can use your touchtone phone to indicate your response. You can also interact on the website if you're following along via the web submission. The question is as follows. Why are you joining us this evening? If it is to learn more about the Waasigan Transmission Line project, press 1. If it is to learn how to participate in the project, press 2. If it is interest in project timelines, press 3. If it is to ask a question to the project team, press 4. If it is another reason, press 5. So again, why are you joining us this evening? If it is to learn more about the Waasigan Transmission Line project, press 1. If it is to learn how to participate in the project, press 2. If it is interest in project timelines, press 3. If it is to ask a question to the project team, press 4. If it is another reason, press 5. I would now like to turn the event over to Alex Muskolic, Hydro One's Senior Manager for Community Relations, to start the presentation.
Thank you, Eric, and thank you for joining us this evening. As Daniel mentioned, we were pleased to host in-person open houses in Dryden, Atacocan, and Thunder Bay earlier this month, and we are pleased to be here virtually with you this evening. We will continue to offer engagement opportunities as we move along through this project. As community members, your insight will form an important part of this project, and we're here to listen every step of the way. It's our intention to be a true partner, working closely with Indigenous communities, municipal leaders, residents, associations, and businesses, both small and large, in the development of this important project. For tonight's presentation, we'll provide an update on the Waasigan transmission line, discuss where we are in the environmental assessment and the overall project timeline, share information about how a preferred route will be selected, and have a live question and answer session with our group of panelists. For those of you who are joining by phone, the presentation can be viewed online at hydro1.com/Waasigan. Before we get into specifics of the project, I'd like to spend a moment talking about our partners in Ontario's electricity landscape. The GLP is a consortium of First Nations working together on the development of the project, and we are pleased to share that they have recently announced a formal partnership with Hydro One. As Daniel mentioned, the GLP had the opportunity to invest in a 50% stake of this line and are integral partners to the success of this project. The Independent Electricity System Operator, or ISO, who, as Daniel also mentioned, are here with us tonight, oversee the planning of the electricity system to ensure communities have the power they need now and in the future. They work with electricity companies like Hydro One, as well as power generators and local utilities to assess how much power is needed across the province. We will be hearing a little bit more from the ISO directly in a few minutes, so stay tuned for that. Our job at Hydro One is to build, own, and maintain electricity transmission infrastructure. You'll be familiar with our hydro towers and lines that connect communities to the electricity grid across the province. The Ministry of the Environment, Conservation and Parks is the provincial authority that oversees the environmental assessment process, which ensures any potential environmental effects are considered prior to the construction of our transmission projects. Lastly, the Ontario Energy Board regulates the market and ensures new projects are built in a financially responsible manner to protect customers. Some of you may be asking, how does Hydro One bring home power to homes and businesses? Electricity is first produced by Ontario Power Generation or private companies from sources like hydroelectric, nuclear, solar, and wind facilities. We then use nearly 30,000 kilometers of transmission wires to carry high voltage electricity or bulk electricity over long distances. As electricity reaches local communities, it is stepped down to a lower voltage. It then travels through a separate network of wires called a distribution system to homes and businesses. You can think of the transmission system as the highway and the distribution system as a series of local roads. Hydro One and other local distribution companies like Synergy North and Atacocan Hydro are then responsible for safely delivering this lower voltage power to you. I want to take a moment to remind everybody you can submit a question online via the submission box or on the right of your screen. For those joining by phone, you can ask a question by pressing 3 on the phone keypad at any time. Let's get into the Waasigan project. There is an incredible amount of preparation and engagement involved when planning electricity infrastructure projects. With electricity demand in the region growing, we need to ensure we're ready. Waasigan is a proposed new double-circuit 230 kilovolt transmission line from Lakehead Transformer Station, Shunya, to Mackenzie Transformer Station in Atacocan, and then a single-circuit 230 kilovolt line between Atacocan and the Dryden Transformer Station in Dryden. The project is located in the traditional territories of the Treaty 3 and Robinson Superior First Nations, and traverses the Northwest Ontario Métis community and Northern Lake Superior Métis community. A comprehensive environmental assessment under the Ontario Environmental Assessment Act is required for this project. This will allow us to identify a potential effect on the environment and ways to avoid or mitigate those effects. The ISO has recently recommended a phased approach to construction of the project. And with that, I will pass the floor over to Beverly to speak about ISO's roles and responsibilities and provide more information on this recent recommendation.
Thank you very much, and good evening, everyone. My name is Beverly Nollert, and I am Manager Transmission Planning at the Independent Electricity System Operator, also known as the ISO. I'm happy to be here this evening to provide an overview of our organization's mandate and to provide context on the need for the Waasigan Transmission Line and our recommendation with respect to this project. So starting out with an introduction to the ISO, this slide shows our organization's primary activities and responsibilities. Of particular relevance to this evening's discussion is the ISO's role in planning for Ontario's future electricity needs while purposefully engaging to enable informed decisions. And it is part of this role that we are here to speak with you tonight about how we are planning to ensure the Northwest has a reliable supply of electricity to enable future growth. Next slide, please. In planning to address growth in the Northwest, a key step is understanding the outlook for growth over the longer term. And what we are seeing in the region and hearing from Indigenous and municipal communities, as well as sector stakeholders through our ongoing engagement efforts, is that we are embarking on a period of strong growth that will drive up demand for electricity in the region, and that this growth is primarily driven by mining developments in the region, given the demand for critical minerals and strong commodity prices. This growth is shown in the graph on the right-hand side of the slide under reference growth assumptions as well as various sensitivities. And it is this growth that has created the need for the ISO to provide a recommendation on the staging and the construction of the Waasigan transmission line. Next slide, please. In a May 3rd letter to Hydro One, the ISO recommended a staged approach for construction of the Waasigan transmission line. Specifically, the ISO recommended that phase one of the project between Thunder Bay and Atikokan be placed in service as close to the end of 2025 as possible. Further, the ISO noted that we will continue to monitor developments in the region so as to provide a targeted in-service date for phase two of the project between Atikokan and Dryden, with an update to be provided at the beginning of Q2 of next year. This staged and time-bound approach of the recommendation reflects the timing of the need for each of the phases, recognizing that they are different, the potential for higher than expected growth, and the lead time for project implementation. And with that, I'll turn it back over to Hydro One.
Thank you, Beverly. For those viewing the live stream presentation, I'd like to draw your attention to the map on the screen, which shows the route alternatives being evaluated in order to select a preferred route to help meet the region's growing electricity demands. I'll share more information about how the alternatives are being evaluated shortly. For those joining on the phone, the project map is available on our website at hydro1.com/Waasigan. Northwestern Ontario is seeing unprecedented growth in electricity infrastructure, from the Wate Power Transmission Project to the recent completed east-west tie transmission line along the north-south-north shore of Lake Superior. Waasigan plays a critical role in the expansion of the electricity network in the region. As a trusted community partner, Hydro One is committed to supporting community growth and prosperity across the Northwest. This includes the industry-leading agreement with the First Nations represented by the GLP, as mentioned earlier, to advance equity participation for First Nations in critical infrastructure development. Ensuring diverse and meaningful economic participation opportunities for Indigenous communities is an ongoing priority. We are committed to develop local training and labor opportunities as well. Where possible, we want to hire and source materials from the region to support the local economy. By tapping into local resources, including employees and locally sourced equipment, we are committed to supporting the future infrastructure needs in the Northwest while supporting local economic growth and job creation. Hydro One will continue working with people, businesses, and communities to discuss potential benefits you would like to see in the short and long term. As I mentioned before, we are currently undertaking an environmental assessment for this project. Through this process, alternative routes will be evaluated and a preferred route that will minimize effects to the environment will be selected. Once a preferred route is chosen, we will assess potential effects of the project and identify measures to avoid, mitigate, and offset negative effects. We are currently conducting field studies to collect data to support both the route evaluation and effects assessment. We will also develop a monitoring framework for all phases of the project. I want to note we anticipate a preferred route will be selected towards the end of this year, at which point we will host yet another round of engagement opportunities. Further down the line, a draft environmental assessment report will be available for review and further feedback, and then a final version will be submitted to the Ministry of Environment, Conservation, and Parks for decision. Throughout this process, we will provide opportunities for consultation and engagement with Indigenous communities and local stakeholders. Based on the feedback we have received to date, there is a strong preference to locate the new line close to existing linear infrastructure, such as existing transmission lines. Hydro One has listened to this feedback, and the alternative routes being considered generally follow existing linear infrastructure. A framework to evaluate the alternative routes will help us select a preferred route based on feedback and the data collected. The natural environment, Indigenous communities' values, the social economic environment, including existing development and land use, as well as technical components and costs, will all be considered. As mentioned, we'll host another round of engagement opportunities once a preferred route is selected, likely towards the end of this year. To provide your input at any time, please visit our project website at hydro1.com/Waasigan or call us toll-free at 1-877-345-6799. Throughout the planning of this project, we really want you to know that your input is truly important to us. We want to hear from you. We have been and will continue to provide opportunities throughout the environmental assessment to listen to your feedback because we want to build a line that is considerate of community needs and interests. Of course, please feel free to provide us with feedback at any time. With that, I want to remind everyone you can submit a question by pressing 3 on your telephone keypad or using the online submission box. We'd like to ask our second polling question now. Over to you, Eric.
Of course, Alex. Here is our second polling question, and you can use your touchtone phone. You can also use the online submission system to select your response. In your opinion, what is the most important category to consider in selecting a preferred route? If it is the natural environment, such as parks, water, and wildlife, press 1. If it is the socioeconomic environment, such as built-up areas and heritage landscapes, press 2. If it is technical considerations and costs, press 3. If it is all of these options, press 4. If it is another reason, press 5. So again, in your opinion, what is the most important category to consider in selecting a preferred route? If it is the natural environment, such as parks, water, and wildlife, press 1. If it is the socioeconomic environment, such as built-up areas and heritage landscapes, press 2. If it is technical considerations and cost, press 3. If it is all of these options, press 4. And if it is another reason, press 5. Alex, back to you.
Thank you, Eric. Once a preferred route is selected at the end of this year, we will be able to determine the real estate requirements for this project. At that time, dedicated Hydro One land agents will work directly with affected property owners who have a proposed corridor on their property. To guide these discussions, land acquisition principles tailored to the project will be applied in a fair, open, consistent, and transparent manner. You may have been contacted regarding temporary access to your property already. Please know the temporary access helps us complete environmental field studies, which are an important part of the environmental assessment. We are committed to working with Indigenous communities throughout the life cycle of Waasigan. We believe Waasigan will greatly benefit from engagement with Indigenous communities since they hold important traditional knowledge and land use information. With this in mind, Hydro One has committed to a comprehensive and industry-leading Indigenous knowledge strategy on Waasigan. We're supporting communities to complete comprehensive traditional knowledge studies, traditional land and resource use studies, and values and rights impact assessments. This work includes gathering information from elders, traditional knowledge keepers, as well as mapping, archaeological, and other field studies. All of this information will help inform the selection of a preferred route. Throughout this presentation, we've touched on the timing for a number of items. At this point, I want to spend a moment highlighting the key project milestones on the whole. This past February, the Ministry of Environment, Conservation and Parks approved the amended terms of reference for this project, which can be found on the website. The environmental assessment is now being carried out according to the approved amended terms of reference and the requirements of the Environmental Assessment Act. We plan to be construction ready at the end of 2024, pending project approvals, of course. We know how important this line is to supporting planned growth in the region, and we want to ensure power is there when it's needed. Finally, before we get to the live question and answer session with our panelists, I want to recap how you get involved. At Hydro One, consultation is important to us. It's a top priority. As I've mentioned throughout this presentation, we want to hear from you to ensure your feedback is built into our project plan. There will be several more engagements planned so we can continue hearing your feedback, and you can reach us at any time to ask questions and provide input. This slide lists all the ways you can get in touch with us at any time. You can visit our website at hydro1.com/wasigan to learn more. Email our community relations team at community.relations@hydro1.com, or you can reach out to us by phone at 1-877-345-6799. Once again, I want to thank you for joining, and I will now turn it over to Eric to get the live questions and answers session started.
Thank you, Alex. Now, we are going to start off with a question that has come in, and the question is as follows. Where alternative routes follow existing transmission lines, will the new line be added onto the existing towers, or will the existing line be decommissioned and replaced by the new line?
That's a great question. I'm going to hand it over to Sarah to answer that one.
Thanks, Alex. Thanks for the question. So Wasigan is a new transmission line, and it will require its own right-of-way with new structures. So in places where the alternative routes follow existing transmission lines, the new right-of-way could be built on either side of the existing line, and that will be determined once the preferred route is selected. And at that time, once the preferred route is selected, we will be hosting additional engagement sessions to gain additional feedback on the exact location of the new line.
Thank you, Sarah. Eric?
Up next, we have a question that has come in online, but first, I do want to remind everyone joining us that we want to hear from you. You can press 3 on your phone's keypad at any time during the session, and you'll have a chance to ask a live question. For those online, you can submit a question via the submission box on the right. Of course, to view tonight's presentation, please visit powernorthwest.ca. We have our first question submission from online, and it's coming from Donald, and Donald asks, how much weight will public concerns have on the choice of route?
That's a great question, Donald. I think I'll hand it over to Sarah to answer that one as well.
Yeah, thanks for the question, Donald. So different factors are going to be considered as part of the route evaluation process. As Alice mentioned in the presentation, we're going to be looking at natural environment factors, socioeconomic, technical factors, as well as Indigenous community values. But we're looking for feedback into the route evaluation process as a whole. So we're looking for feedback on which routes are viewed as preferred, and what are the most important factors that we should be considering when we do select a preferred route. So right now we have a survey available on our project website at hydro1.com/wasigan, where you can provide that feedback. And as well, we'll be holding, like I mentioned, additional engagement events once that preferred route has been identified to gain additional feedback. You know, we really value the feedback that we receive from members of the public, which is why we plan to engage at all stages of the EA.
Thank you, Sarah. Back to you, Eric.
Up next, we have another online submission, and this question is going to be from Tracy. Tracy asks, will renewable energy projects be owned and or operated by the GLP Consortium?
Thank you. That's a great question. Matthew?
Hey, Alex, can you just repeat the question? I cut out there. I just caught the tail end of it.
I can read it again. The question from Tracy is, will renewable energy projects be owned and or operated by the GLP Consortium?
Sure. Thanks for the question. So the GLP partnership was structured by the eight First Nation communities specifically to engage with Hydro One on the Waasigan transmission line. So that's the sort of sole focus of the group is partnering with Hydro One on the transmission line itself. So at this point, as far as we're aware, no plans for any additional projects beyond that. But that would probably be a question best directed to the GLP. But like I said, the partnership was structured specifically for this transmission line project.
Thank you. Thank you, Matthew. Eric?
Up next, we have another question that's been submitted online. If you are joining us online, you can submit a question via the submission box on the right. If you're joining us by phone, you can press 3 on your phone's keypad to ask a live question. Up next, we have a question from Eva, and Eva's question is as follows. We are extremely concerned about the possible health effects as this hydro line would cross my mom's property close to her home. It would run directly through my neighbor's front yard, 30 feet from their front door. It would also run directly through two other neighbors' yards. They are also very concerned for their health. We are on Cam Current Road, just off of Onion Lake Road.
I'm glad you asked that question. It's an important one. Sarah?
Yeah, sure. Thank you for that specific feedback. You know, we, like I mentioned, we'll be assessing the route based on different factors to select a preferred route that really minimizes effects to the environment. But that being said, we appreciate the specific feedback about your specific location. And I would suggest that a member of our project team, we have your contact information, gets a hold of you to discuss exactly how your property could be impacted and if the preferred route is selected to go near your property.
Thank you, Sarah. Eric?
Eva, thank you again for that question. Up next, we have another question. This is one from Lloyd, and the question is as follows. It appears that certain parts of the line are already decided, for example, the southern section, the more horizontal portion. Is that correct?
That's a great question. Sarah?
Thanks for the question. So the preferred route has not yet been selected. So right now we are gathering baseline information, including completing field studies, in order to feed into that route evaluation process. And then we'll be selecting a preferred route and then coming out to present the preferred route later this year. And there are certain sections which don't appear to have alternatives. However, in those sections, we will be looking at, you know, where exactly the new line would be. For example, if the alternative is shown as following an existing transmission line, we would be looking at which side of the existing line that line would be located. So we have not yet determined the preferred route yet, and we'll make sure that we come back out and engage with and have additional engagement sessions to discuss.
Thanks for the answer, Sarah. Eric?
We have another question that's been submitted online. For those joining us online, you can use the submission box on the right to submit a question to us. And if you are joining us on the phone, you can press 3 on your phone's keypad to ask a live question. Up next, we have a question from Lynn. And Lynn's question is, how are you going to assess climate change and biodiversity impacts? Will there also be a federal impact assessment undertaken?
Thanks, Lynn, for that question. Sarah?
Yeah, thanks for the question, Lynn. So right now, the project is undergoing a comprehensive environmental assessment, which is under the provincial the Ontario Environmental Assessment Act. We're not completing a federal impact assessment act because the project does not trigger one. To answer your other questions, we really want to ensure that we're planning our projects in an environmentally responsible manner, and that includes assessing how the project could contribute to climate change and how climate change could affect this project. So as part of the environmental assessment, we'll be completing both a quantitative assessment of greenhouse gas emissions associated with construction activities, as well as a qualitative assessment from the operation phase of the project. We'll also be looking at climate change adaptation or the potential effects of climate change on the project. So that will all be considered as part of the environmental assessment. And as far as biodiversity, we'll be assessing effects to specific habitats and species to ensure that we're protecting biodiversity in the area and ensuring that we're developing mitigation measures to prevent as many negative effects to biodiversity as possible. All of this information is going to be compiled into our environmental assessment document, which we're hoping to have available for the public review early next year. So we'll give you the opportunity to review what we put in the environmental assessment and ensure that you agree that we're doing everything we can to protect the environment.
Thanks for that, Sarah. Eric?
We have a question now that was submitted by email, and the question is, will this create jobs for local people?
Great question. Bruce?
Yes, thanks for that question. Good question. Hydro One is committed to supporting the local economy through local employment and procurement by tapping into local resources, including employment, employees, and locally sourced equipment. Hydro One is committed to addressing the future infrastructure needs of Northern Ontario. Thank you.
Thanks, Bruce. Eric?
Another quick reminder to everyone joining us that if you'd like to ask a live question, you can simply press 3 on your phone's keypad. Once again, press 3 to ask a live question at any time if you're joining us by phone. For those online, you can submit a question via the submission box on the right. We have our next question was submitted online by Tracy, and Tracy asks, how will this project complement the Wataynikaneyap Transmission Line project, a new 300-kilometer transmission line to reinforce electricity supply into Pickle Lake and connect 17 First Nation communities north of Pickle Lake and Red Lake with an estimated 1,500 kilometers of new transmission line. The total estimated capital cost is $1.83 billion.
Thank you for that question. I'm glad you asked. Bruce?
Yes, thank you. Great question. And maybe I'll take part of the question and I'll ask our IESO friends to help out. The Watay line is connecting to an existing Hydro One transmission line and will not be relying on a connection to the new Waasigan transmission line. The Waasigan transmission line would provide the capacity for the whole area west and north of Thunder Bay, and the Watay line provides capacity for northern areas, including the Pickle Lake area and potential future connections of the Ring of Fire. Beverly, could I turn it over to you if you have anything to add?
Thanks, Bruce. Yeah, I would just echo your key messages there that the Waasigan transmission line will effectively help transfer power west from Thunder Bay to Atikokan and further west to Dryden. And as you noted, the line to Pickle Lake will connect to that second section of the Waasigan transmission line. And so to the extent there's additional demand growth served by Watay, Waasigan can help with that as well.
Thank you, Beverly. Eric?
We have another online question that's come in. This one is from Dave, who asks, what types of participation or business opportunities does Hydro One anticipate for First Nation and Indigenous partners?
It's a great question. I'll turn it over to Matthew for that one.
Yeah, thanks, Alex. And a really great question, and one I think that we're quite excited about here at Hydro One with our Indigenous partners that we're working with. So I'd say fundamentally, Hydro One is committed to maximizing and diversifying those participating both in our projects and our supply chain. And we've set a goal recently at Hydro One of reaching 5% of our overall annual spend spent with Indigenous businesses. And that represents about $100 million annual spend. And Waasigan will play a critical part in helping us achieve that goal. So we're really committed to maximizing the participation of Indigenous businesses in the project, whether it be by hiring and training local community members, by sourcing materials, sourcing equipment in the region through working with existing or new businesses that will be structured and rolled out as a result of the project opportunities. I'll also say we're committed to working with our Indigenous partners on understanding some of the smaller businesses that exist in the territory and figuring out how to maximize their participation in the project. So it will be a multi-pronged approach. It will be an approach focused on skills training, development, and employment, and the procurement of goods and services from both large and small businesses, either existing in the region or new ones that will be structured up and brought into the project through our partnerships with communities. So committed to maximizing that participation, and the good news is we're already starting those conversations with our community partners now.
That's great. Thank you, Matthew. Eric?
Up next, we have another online submission. It's from Dawn, who asks, what is the estimated time until the construction starts?
Thanks for that question, Dawn. Bruce?
Yes, very good question, Dawn. Thank you. As Beverly was kind enough to have mentioned in her presentation, the ISO has just recently put forward a recommendation to Hydro One to have in service phase one as close to the end of 2025 as possible, and that we would continue to work together to identify the in-service date for phase two. With that in mind, we're currently in the development phase of the project, and the development phase is expected to be completed by end of 2024. In addition, we'll be ready for construction by the end of 2024, and with the intent to begin as quickly as possible to meet the in-service dates as recommended by the ISO. Thanks for your question.
Thank you, Bruce. Eric?
Our next question has been submitted by Jeff, and Jeff asks, there doesn't appear to be any alternate routes east and west along Highway 11 from the Dog River, Silver Falls Road in Kaministiquia, just east of Atikokan. Is this true? We have been asked for Hydro to access our property along Highway 11 near the Cashabowie River as part of the EA. What exactly will this entail?
Thank you for that question. Sarah?
Yeah, thanks for the question. So for the section between Dog River to Atikokan, as I mentioned, it does appear that there's one route for that section. However, right now that line follows our existing transmission line, and so we will be looking at whether the new line will be on the north side or the south side of that existing line. So while it doesn't appear that there are large distinct alternatives, there are alternatives through that section. To answer your second part of your question, we're currently collecting baseline data to characterize the existing environment to support the environmental assessment. And that includes feeding that information into the alternatives evaluation as well as the effects assessment as part of the EA. And so in order to complete the required studies, we're requesting temporary access rights to properties within our study area. So you may have been contacted by a land agent who is looking to gain these temporary access rights, including signing an agreement and providing compensation. And really, the access is for our field crews to be able to go out, biologists to go out and collect information on the land. So access to your property should not be taken as an indication that that's where the proposed transmission line is going or any supporting infrastructure. It's really just to gather information within our study area.
Thank you, Sarah. Back to you, Eric.
Up next, we have a question submission that came in from Ed. Ed asks, I am led to believe that property owners will be compensated for the use of their land, but only for the land that is physically used by the line. However, property values will be greatly affected. If an owner feels he is undercompensated, what avenues will he or she have to appeal and at whose cost?
I'm glad you asked that question. It's an important one. Hand it over to Jamie, who's our senior real estate coordinator.
Great. Thanks, Alex. Great question, Ed. Thanks very much for that. So once the preferred route is selected through this environmental assessment process, Hydro One will have dedicated land agents that are going to work closely with the directly impacted property owners who have that preferred right-of-way on their property. Our goal is we always want to secure voluntary property settlements with affected property owners, and we'll use project-specific land acquisition compensation principles. These project-specific compensation principles, they're founded on everyone's recent experience for land acquisition programs for nearby transmission projects. These principles, they're applied in a fair, open, transparent, consistent manner to all property owners. We'll present each directly impacted property owner with a formal offer based upon the information contained in a property-specific, independent, third-party appraisal report. If it's deemed applicable by that third-party appraiser, Hydro One's offer will include compensation for injurious affection. And an injurious affection payment is offered when reductions to the market value for the remainder of the property occur as a result of our use and interest in that property. Now, that analysis, it does take into consideration various attributes of the property and whether that loss in value is likely to result. So separation distance between the residents and the transmission line, the location of the transmission line, those are all kinds of things that come into that injurious affection calculation. So our goal is always to secure those voluntary property rights with directly impacted property owners. And there are other legal avenues to acquire the property rights. And we really choose to work together with owners to secure those voluntary rights before we have to work in the legislated processes. So, we look forward to working with all of the directly impacted property owners. I hope that answers the question.
Thank you for that thorough answer, Jamie. Eric?
Next, we have an email question, and this question is, will the Waasigan transmission line be able to provide power to my remote home or camp?
Great question. Bruce?
Yes, thank you. Another great question. So the answer to that is no. The Waasigan project is a 230 kilovolt transmission line that provides bulk power to the region. Though they are connected, bulk power is different than distributed power, which is what feeds homes and properties. I'll draw on an example or an analogy that Alex put forward in her presentation at the start of this call. The bulk power is like the highways and distribution is like the local roads. Thank you.
Thanks, Bruce. Eric?
Up next, we have another online submission that has come in from Dawn. And Dawn asks, when will routes be confirmed? We have been looking for property west of Thunder Bay and want to avoid the transmission line. There have been a number of acreages and homes for sale near Sisson's Corner, for instance. I don't want to engage in a real estate transaction to find out next year that the transmission line will run close to it.
Thank you for that question. Sarah?
Yeah, thanks for the question. Like I had mentioned, the preferred route is aimed to be selected later this year. So right now we're gathering baseline information as well as feedback to feed into this process. So the first thing I would suggest is if you can visit our website at hydro1.com/Waasigan, where you can take a survey or submit a comment form to provide your feedback into this process. And you can also call us using the community relations phone line at 1-877-345-6799. And we understand that there are specific concerns about where the line will be located, which is why when we've identified a preferred route, we're going to be coming back out and engaging and holding other additional sessions such as this to present our selected preferred route and to gather additional feedback into the routing process.
Thank you, Sarah. Back to you, Eric.
Up next, we have a phone question. Doug is joining us live on the line, and we'll ask a question now. Doug, welcome. Please go ahead.
Hello. I just had received the EA commencement letter in the mail a few months back, I guess, and was just looking at the map that was provided and saw that from the origin of the from Lakehead Transmission Station from Shunya out toward to the west, probably about 30 kilometers, we have three routes set down already as possible. It looks like one's along Highway 102, one's along existing, and the northern one I'm not quite sure based on the map. I just wondered why those three had been sent out early as options when there's a lot of work to do still on the EA to decide the route, and just why wasn't it shown as a general area of routing? That's my question, essentially. So,
thanks, Doug, for that question, and thank you for joining us tonight. Pass it over to Sarah.
Yeah, thanks for the question. I can give you a little bit of the background on how those routes were developed. We started the process in 2019 to develop a terms of reference, and that document is really the framework for how we're going to be completing the environmental assessment. So during that process, we had a study area. We started with a large study area, and we've gradually narrowed them down to alternative routes. So the alternative routes were identified during the terms of reference process using a mapping, GIS, transmission line siting model, which considered baseline information, such as the location of existing infrastructure. It considered environmentally sensitive features and land uses, as well as feedback that we had received from Indigenous communities and stakeholders. And for instance, one of the things that we heard consistently during our early engagement was that there was a preference for the new line to follow existing linear infrastructure, such as existing transmission lines or roads. And that's reflected in the alternatives that we are considering. So if you look at the ones out of Lakehead TS and Shinya going west, you'll see that they do follow existing linear infrastructure. And so that's how they were selected. And right now we're trying to gather feedback on those alternatives so that we select a preferred route that incorporates feedback from everyone.
Thank you, Sarah. Eric?
Up next, we have an online question submission from Emily. Emily asks, can you please be more specific about how you are working to incorporate Indigenous knowledge with Western science throughout the project beyond the formation of the GLP?
Thank you for that question, Emily. I'll hand it over to both Matt, who's our Director of Indigenous Relations, as well as Sarah, who's leading our environmental work.
Thanks, Alex. I can start, and then Matt can jump in. So we know that the project will benefit greatly from active engagement of Indigenous communities. You know, they hold the Indigenous knowledge, including traditional knowledge and land and resource use information for the project area. And we're working with individual communities to incorporate any knowledge that the communities are open to sharing. And it will be used to support and strengthen the development of the project, and it will be incorporated into the environmental assessment. So specifically, we're providing opportunities for Indigenous communities to provide input at critical decision-making points during the environmental assessment process, such as incorporating any Indigenous knowledge that we receive into the process to select a preferred route. And we're supporting Indigenous community members' involvement in our field surveys as well. So this information is extremely important, and the Indigenous knowledge that we gain will be used to enhance the Western science aspect of the environmental assessment.
Great. Thank you, Sarah.
It's Matt here, Alex. So maybe just add, you know, beyond that, sort of a core fundamental to Hydro One's approach is really working with the communities and meeting them where they are, and that means collecting this knowledge both through formal and informal channels. So that means providing the capacity required for communities to advance both the written aspects of that knowledge, but also making sure that our teams are well integrated into the communities, both during the development and throughout the life cycle of the project, to make sure that that knowledge continues to flow. And certainly we have made loud and clear commitments that we will take that knowledge under advisement at any time, not just during the environmental assessment. That process continues throughout the life cycle of the project. So when we talk about the life cycle, we talk about development, construction, and operation. So we're committed to that long-term partnership. And the other point I wanted to make is we are obviously engaged with the 8 communities in the GLP, but we also engage a number of other First Nation and Métis partners across the territory that are providing that input as well beyond the GLP.
Thank you, Matt, and thank you, Sarah. Eric?
We have another online question submission. This one is from Tracy, and Tracy asks, have there been any consultations with Manitoba Hydro about this project and how it might benefit in enabling importing surplus hydropower from that province?
A great question. I'll hand it over to Beverly at the ISO.
Thank you, Tracy. So as part of our planning activities in Ontario, we do regularly speak with our neighbours, including Manitoba Hydro. However, as it relates to the potential for increased imports with respect to the Waasigan Transmission Line, we haven't had a focused discussion on this, given that the Waasigan Transmission Line is not planned to connect to the Manitoba border. However, the Waasigan Transmission Line could set the foundation if there were additional upgrades to enable increased imports from Manitoba in a potential future.
Thank you, Beverly. And thanks to everyone for all your great questions and for joining us tonight and providing all your feedback. Eric?
Thank you, Alex. I'm going to read, we have one more polling question for everyone joining us. If you're online, you can use the submission system to submit your response. If you're joining us on the phone, use your touchtone phone to respond. After this evening's virtual community open house, what is your level of support for Hydro One's Waasigan Transmission Line project? If you are very supportive, press 1. If you are supportive, press 2. If you are neutral or unsure, press 3. If you are not very supportive, press 4. And if you are not supportive at all, press 5. So again, after this evening's virtual community open house, what is your level of support for Hydro One's Waasigan Transmission Line project? If you are very supportive, press 1. If you are supportive, press 2. If you are neutral or unsure, press 3. If you are not very supportive, press 4. And if you are not supportive at all, press 5. Now, Daniel, we actually have just about reached the end of the virtual information session. We have a couple minutes remaining. Did you have some closing remarks you want to share with the audience members?
Thanks, Eric. Yeah, I'd like to thank everyone for taking the time to join us this evening to learn more about the Waasigan Transmission Line project. Speaking on behalf of our team at Hydro One and our partners at the ISO, we really appreciated having the opportunity to hear directly from you tonight. If you ask the question that we could not get to, we will be in touch with an answer shortly. One of our team members will reach out. And if you are not able to ask your question, I encourage you to get in touch with us by contacting us directly at community.relations@hydro1.com, or you can call us at 1-877-345-6799. As we continue the planning of this project, we look forward to working with you and taking your feedback. meeting you in your communities and online again. And with that, I wish you a good evening and to stay safe. Thank you.
Thank you again to everyone for joining us. Just a reminder, if you have any questions or concerns you would like to share with Hydro One, you can do so by emailing us as well at community.relations@hydroone.com. Again, you can share questions and concerns by emailing us at community.relations@hydroone.com. Thank you again to everyone for joining us this evening, and take care.